The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impact of ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Audio of this and each episode of Bengal Business can be found at kisu.org.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the College of Business and a professor of marketing here at Idaho State University, and I am thrilled to welcome our guest this month, Sandy Gerke. Sandy is a proud ISU College of Business alum. She is also the Vice President of System Operations at St. Luke's Hospital in Boise. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Sandy, let's start with this. So you have an extremely important position at one of the best hospitals in America. Just kind of talk a little bit about your path from the Idaho State University College of Business to what you're doing today.
Yeah, happy to. So I graduated in 2003 from Idaho State University. And with the Healthcare Administration Program, one of our tasks was to do basically a field studies or a short internship for credit. I was fortunate enough that being from Boise, I had some connections here, and at that time landed an internship in the finance and accounting department here at St. Luke's. So spent my summer here and then went off to grad school. After grad school, landed an administrative residency, so similar to the path that our physicians follow.
Right.
Some of our traditional hospital administration paths require a residency and a fellowship. So I was fortunate to be in Denver, Colorado at that point in time with lots of options from hospitals to pick from, and ended up at the Medical Center of Aurora, where I had some fabulous female leader mentors who gave me some awesome opportunities to fail, but always had my back. And so got some awesome stretch opportunities there. And then from there, that was with HCA, the Healthcare Corporation of America, and they have about 160 facilities nationwide. And so had a great network there to work with as I kind of moved up in my career, and they offered a development program. And I took advantage of that. And through that, with not only on the job training, but some didactic training, was able to progress through that development program and had the opportunity to move again. So took a position as an assistant chief operating officer in Las Vegas. So branched out a bit. And then as that time there was coming to an end, there was a position actually at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center in Idaho Falls.
Right.
And I called my husband, who we were not married at the time. And I said, hey, what do you think about going back to Southeast Idaho? And he's like, I'm not so sure about that. But it was the best move that we made in the progression of my career, and had the opportunity to serve as this chief operating officer there at IRMAC in Idaho Falls, and made some great connections, and actually got reacquainted with ISU quite a bit at that point in time in my role on the alumni board, and then subsequently now with the foundation board. And from there, this opportunity opened up here in Boise, and being from Boise, it was kind of a natural progression. And so here I am.
That's an amazing journey. We are very thankful, Sandy, that you returned to the great state of Idaho. You said something there I just want to touch on quickly, because I think it is such incredible advice for young professionals and students hearing that. We talk about that, but not enough. You said they gave you great opportunities to fail, and I think that's such a wonderful way to say that. Can you talk a little bit about why that's so important, why it was so important to you as a young professional on your way up, and what impact that had?
Yes, of course. I think being new into leadership or new into your career, there's a lot of hesitancy perhaps to take things on. And so the ladies that I had the opportunity to work with there in Colorado were really great about giving me exposure opportunities so I could see what was happening. and then an assignment for me to take on, whether it was a contract review and a negotiation or creating a business case for a particular new program or service line. There were lots of things that I could draw on from my educational experience, but having not necessarily been in the field, I really had to lean in and learn. And so they were really great about pushing me out of my comfort zone and encouraging and backstopping and saying, hey, you need to go have this conversation with this physician, or what are you thinking about this particular opportunity and the financials associated with it? And then they let me, you know, create that path or tell them where my thought was going, and then they could course correct me. Versus them being so regimented in wanting it done a specific way and guiding me through every step. They let me find those steps. And I think that that was really key in me being able to fly.
No, and I hear that so often, Sandy, from really successful alums, a very similar story. And I think that's so important early in our careers to be able to have those types of mentors who, again, let us try things, let us fail. And I think that's just such an important thing to look for as students are moving forward in their career. So outstanding. Sandy, so being a senior executive at a leading large hospital, I'm sure comes with all kinds of unique challenges, but one that none of us really would have imagined a year ago would be the challenge that you all have had to navigate with COVID-19 and the impact that's had on all of us. Can you talk a little bit about that and just the experience of that and the impact on you and your team?
Yeah, actually a year ago this week was when we, this weekend, went into kind of our lockdown status, if you will, as a result of the pandemic spreading. You know, it's been a trying year, but it's also been a year that I think has provided a lot of growth and strength for us as a health system. So in the beginning, I fondly remember still being in a room with other people. not today, we were all completely virtual, but being in that room and trying to take the learnings from where other people had been in Washington with the virus and trying to understand what was our personal protective equipment status. Were we going to have enough? What does a lockdown mean for us? How then are we going to navigate keeping our people and our patients safe as we continue to care for the community? So it's been trying. We've had probably over 150 practices and policy changes. Wow. Within those first 3 to 6 months. So we're constantly navigating that. Now with the vaccines coming out, we're pivoting to navigate how we redeploy vaccines across our geographic regions as well and continue to provide that community service. But a lot of things being stood up very fast. A lot of decisions being made, perhaps forgiveness later if it maybe wasn't the right decision at the time. But we have learned and have pivoted and again, fail fast,
right?
Correct, and get back on that horse. So things, while trying, I think we've definitely learned a tremendous amount about what we're capable of and where to go next. And so we have new processes, we have new visibility from a data and a dashboard standpoint into our patients, into our supplies, into our capacity and our ability to navigate capacity across our 8 hospitals, our staffing and our ability to move resources to where it's needed. You know, particularly earlier on in the pandemic, we saw a surge in our Wood River area, where we were not experiencing a surge in Boise or Twin Falls, and we were able to send staff. So the beauty of being connected from a system standpoint, and then vice versa, when we surged in Boise and we weren't surging in Twin Falls, they were able to send staff to us. And so it's been a real great experience to see our system working together to navigate this.
No, and I think, Sandy, you're exactly right. And we've dealt with a lot of the same things in higher education, right? How we deliver classes, what does that look like from the day-to-day operations? And similar to you, I think that we've come out of it with some things that will make us better and stronger as we go forward. Things that we learn, things that, like you said, failed fast and figure out different ways and better ways. And so we're talking now a lot about what higher education looks like at Idaho State University, but nationwide, as we get, you know, hopefully to the end of the pandemic. Can I just ask that? What are some things that you think are important as a hospital leader, healthcare leader, as we look at the years and decades ahead from a healthcare administration standpoint?
Yeah, I think leveraging technology is something that we probably took for granted prior to the pandemic and had to really learn to lean on that, as well as really meeting our patients where they are versus relying on them to come to us.
Absolutely. So
I think those are some key pieces of what we've learned and what we'll carry forward. Also, just the overall transition to how we can care for people in different settings. But it doesn't have to be in that traditional clinic or that traditional hospital setting, that, you know, virtual health and how we're able to continue to optimize that with all the innovation that's coming to bear within that industry. And then just the continued move to keep people healthy and safe and really out of the most expensive part of healthcare, which are hospitals.
Right.
And how we're able to do that with public health practices and, you know, the focus on safety and cleanliness. And while I think we've always talked about that, this has really forced us to walk that talk. And I, you know, amazingly, if you look at our trends in flu this year, we've had very little flu.
Absolutely.
And maybe one or two deaths from flu, where, you know, traditionally we experience thousands of deaths in the state of Idaho from flu. So it's made us better in multiple ways that I think was a blessing in disguise with the pandemic.
I completely agree, Sandy. Well, we'll finish with the last question. So we have here in the Idaho State University College of Business one of the best healthcare administration programs in the country. And we are blessed with incredible professors and great students and produce extraordinary graduates like Sandy. And so, Sandy, we've got a lot of students that are exactly where you are, or seniors, are getting ready to begin their career. And I'd just like to ask, what advice do you have for them as they start down their career journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you always feel not ready. So I would say being comfortable, being uncomfortable is, you know, the early years of my career. But I think more importantly is the networking, finding a mentor, getting involved in either your community or a professional organization that allows you to learn from others, outside of your state, outside of your industry. I think all of those elements help make you a more well-rounded individual and really contribute to your attractiveness in the market. And so those connections also contribute to your network, right? That at the end of the day, that's how I got my job. It was through a networking opportunity. And I think that you have to prove yourself, right? You've got to have the chops behind what you're applying for. But at the same point in time, that network can get you in the door. And so I would just encourage people to think about those opportunities to broaden their network, make those connections, and never, ever, ever burn a bridge.
Oh, that's such great advice, Sandy. Well, we thank you so much for joining us today on the radio show. But more importantly, we thank you for the incredible work that you and your team there and everyone in the healthcare industry have done to keep us safe this past year. And on a personal note, I thank you for your incredible support of our students and future generations of folks here in the Idaho State University College of Business. We are blessed by you, Sandy. We're thankful and proud of you and the incredible things you're doing. And we look forward to visiting again soon. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Go Bengals.
Go Bengals. And we will be right back on the Bengal Business Radio Show.
Try streaming our signal at KISU.org or simply tell your Amazon or Google smart speaker to play KISU. Remember, even when our FM signal is out, KISU continues streaming live online.
Welcome back to this month's edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm Shane Hunt, your host and Dean of the College of Business and Professor of Marketing. And I'm very excited to be joined by my next two guests who are from the Southeast Idaho Small Business Development Center. Ann Swanson, who does a great job as director of the center, and one of our outstanding students, graduate students, Chase Downs, who's working with Ann and the SBDC and doing great things. So Ann and Chase, welcome to this show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, you guys do such amazing work. Let me start, Ann, by just for our listeners, can you talk a little bit about the mission and the focus of the Southeast Idaho Small Business Development Center?
Yeah, absolutely. So we exist to provide no-cost consulting and low-cost training to any small business. So that's our day-to-day job. And our vision is really to become the go-to organization for any small business in the region when they need help with a variety of business issues. There's really nothing that we don't cover, although I could probably think of a few things here and there. But for the most part, our goal is economic development. It's small business growth, it's job growth, and it's helping businesses increase sales, quite frankly.
Well, and I rarely do I go out and speak at an event or be at something with the business community where I don't hear just tons of praises and great things about what you and your team do to help businesses get started and to succeed. But obviously, what we've all lived through the past year is something that none of us could have imagined. Can you talk a little bit about what the SBDC and what your office has been doing to kind of help companies navigate in this unprecedented environment during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Sure. I'll start with that, and then I'll let Chase talk a little bit about what he's done with us this year as well. One of the, I suppose, the silver linings of the pandemic is that the Small Business Development Center got an extra grant this past year to expand our services. So Chase was part of that expansion. So I'll let him speak about that. But as far as the SBDC's role in helping businesses during COVID, believe me, it took us, it was as much of a shock to us as it was to everybody else, right? And I think most of that activity happened last spring. About this time last spring, we were just beginning to climb the learning curve regarding all of the government programs that were coming down the pipe at us. And our goal was to learn it before the clients needed to know it.
Absolutely.
So we put together study groups and webinars around the state to bring people up to speed on the Paycheck Protection Program, on the disaster loan program, and the governor of Idaho rolled out some grant programs we helped people apply for. So we were really in the thick of it. That's about all we did for about 5 months last year.
Wow.
Is help people apply for those programs, figure out those programs. And you know, this was all new for the government too. I mean, they'd never rolled out anything like this. So we're all learning together at the same time. but I'm proud to say though, that I believe last time I checked, the state of Idaho had helped people access over $300 million.
Oh, wow.
That's the SBDC statewide network. And our part of that was about $30 million. So that was pretty good outcomes for us. Of course, our services expanded beyond that once that initial push was happening. And I'll let Chase talk about some of the other things that we've been working on for clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think along with those webinars, I think we're still, if I'm right, Anne, we're still putting out the COVID-19 capital options webinars.
Yep.
That small business owners can attend, and those are statewide. Super, super awesome resources for everyone. But in terms of more of the things that I've been helping the SBDC do is really catch up with older clients. So those are going to be clients from 2016 to 2019 who kind of lost touch with the SBDC, may have gotten a little bit busy with the business, and may have just forgotten about the great resources that we provide. And in the light of COVID-19, I'm sure they had a lot of different things going on in their minds. So one of my tasks was essentially to reach out to those people, kind of like a task force, and find out if there's any way that we can help them. And we were able to probably set up over 50 appointments with past clients to help them get the right resources that they need to get through the pandemic. So that was definitely a huge project that I was proud of and that I was proud of us kind of putting on. And then also just kind of creating different handouts and resources that clients can access easily and help out with a bunch of different resources. So yeah, super rewarding.
Chase,
yeah, another thing that Chase has done with us has been marketing. So we do a weekly outreach to chambers, to stakeholders, sharing our resources. And I think we've seen that, I guess, quote unquote, pay off. I mean, our volume has really increased over the last year.
Oh, I think that's great. And let me ask this question, Anne and Chase. How would someone get in touch with the SBDC? So one of the things that I think people are blown away by are the amount of services, the things that you can help people with. and again, the fact that you're providing those free services. How's the best way for someone to get in contact with the Southeast Idaho Small Business Development Center?
Well, I can take that one. It's really easy. We have a website. It's idahosbdc.org. And there's a button on the homepage called Request Appointment. And then you do that and punch in your zip code, and it will bring you to my email box. And then Chase will give you a call, or I will, or another one of our consultants will get back to you. And we're usually pretty quick about it. We don't like to keep people waiting more than a week or so before we can get them in.
So let me ask this question too to both of you. Is there advice that you would have? I've seen a lot of people that now, as we kind of look at a post-pandemic world, that are very interested in entrepreneurial ventures, on starting small business for themselves or looking at other opportunities. Do you guys have any advice as they start down that process? I know a number of our listeners fall into that bucket. And any advice that you have to share with them as they start down the path of being a small business owner?
I think, at least from the a marketing standpoint, just really ensuring that you have an online presence is, I think, going to be an important strategy that a lot of small businesses implement moving forward. And luckily, we have an amazing website developer on staff too, Zach Spain, that is able to help people kind of build websites if their business is showing a lot of growth. So I would say, just from like a marketing standpoint, being able to really establish a digital presence, whether that be social media, developing, you know, a monthly newsletter, establishing that website as well. Those are all just going to be really good things for a business to help themselves stand out in their community.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah,
advice.
I think tactically that's really, really important. I would add to that that it's so exciting when you have a new idea to focus on the dream of the idea. So you want to do all the fun parts. You want to name the business and you want to get your logo done and you want to tell all your friends what you're doing and start selling your product. And that's why a lot of people go into business, because that part is really fun.
Yep.
And so I'm here to tell you though, that eating your vegetables, your business vegetables, is kind of part of the deal as well. And by that, I mean, making sure that of course, calling us, that's my biggest piece of advice, right? But making sure that all of your systems are set up well from the start, so that you've got a bookkeeping system in place, you've got a connection with an accountant, you have an entity set up correctly, you registered with the state, and all of that's really like not exciting, kind of dream making activity, but it's really important to start with a solid foundation underneath you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a lot of money to do it. A lot of businesses can start for relatively little if they, what I call the lean startup, right?
Where you
create something that is almost like a test business. And that's something that we're really good at helping people do, is taking a dream that's about, 100 miles wide and bringing it down to a small business start that's, maybe a couple of meters square, but on really solid ground.
Oh, I love that. And Ann, one of my favorite quotes in all the time that I've been hosting this show is getting people to eat their business vegetables. That is an awesome one. I'm going to find a way to integrate that into other stories that I tell. That's a perfect way to describe it. And I just can't say thank you enough, Ann, for what you do. Chase, I want to finish with this. So not only is Chase doing great things in working with Ann and Claudia and our great SBDC team, but Chase is also finishing his MBA here at Idaho State University, and we are very proud of the great things he's doing. So Chase, can you talk a little bit about one of the things that we pride ourselves on is providing students with these kinds of experiential opportunities. And so for Chase, for you to get to work with Ann and her great team, to get to work with companies, can you just talk a little bit about how this experience with SBDC has really impacted you as you finish your graduate degree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the times when students are going through their undergraduate programs, especially, we're provided the education to kind of go out into the field, but to actually get the confidence to deal with those situations firsthand is something that I'll never be able to, I can't ever repay you guys for everything that you've given to me in that aspect. Ann and Claudia have empowered me, just like they empower every single business owner that they talk to. And I feel like I can go out into the real world with absolute confidence in my abilities and my knowledge and my expertise in this field of the world. And that's just something that you can't quite get, you know, just being in a classroom all the time. But I will say, if I was not in the classroom, I would not be able to network with other driven students. I would not be able to talk to all the amazing people in the College of Business. I would not be able to ever get the opportunity to connect with Anne and Claudia and earn opportunities, you know, in the workforce and in my career advancement. So for those different things, like the MBA has definitely been, it hasn't been easy, especially in like the pandemic, but overall it's just been incredibly rewarding. I really do feel incredibly equipped to just go out and like spread all the positivity and, you know, just be a light for some team on, you know, in some company later in the future. So,
well, yeah. I would say,
I give you my personal guarantee.
I second Anne's personal guarantee. I would definitely say companies that are looking to take a big step forward, hiring Chase would be a remarkable thing and really help you. Chase, we're so proud of you. We're getting close to graduation season. And so just from me and from Anne, from all of us in the College of Business, congratulations. And we are so proud of you and so excited to see the things, the great things that you're going to do in your future. So we thank you for that. And Anne, every day, Anne and Claudia and the SBDC is working to make our business community stronger and better. And I hope you don't mind, but every single time I'm out at something and somebody says, I got an idea, I want to start a business, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is you need to call Ann Swanson. That's the best first step that you can do. But Ann, thank you for everything you do with the college and our partnership. We are blessed by your leadership. So thank you both for joining me today.
You're welcome. It was great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a great opportunity and really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys, and thank you everyone for listening to this month's edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show. We are so excited for graduation and some great things ahead, and we look forward to visiting with everybody again next month. Have a great day, and go Bengals!
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business, related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU FM for Bengal Business.